Corinthians chapter 2. Sir. Amen. And what's her name? That's right. The Lord knows who. Let's. What is it? Mama Joy. Okay. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. Yes, sir. Ma'am. He's in where? Ah, in Marines. He needs prayer. Oh, tough times. What's his name?
Benjamin.
Benjamin. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, again, we come to you, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, about these things that we're burdened about, Lord. And we know that we're not trying to intervene in what your will is. But, Lord, we pray and speak as men and pray that we'll be in the Spirit when we pray about these things and to your will. But Lord, we think of Brother Stan Martin and Lord, what he's going through. And Lord, it's just, we know that he's in safekeeping. We know nothing surprises you. And Lord, we know that all things work together for good. And we know all of these verses, but Lord, we just ask you to touch him and heal him. And Lord, pray for his wife. She's going through so much trouble right now, just mentally and stress and the family and the church, Lord. And they need you to touch them. They need to see you and feel you, Lord. And so we just pray for their sakes and that, Lord, that you would be with them today and help them. Then we pray for Brother Mann, Lord, a good friend of ours. Lord, we love them. Lord, the things that I just don't understand, and I'm not supposed to. Lord, I'm not being mean or anything, but just touch him and heal him, Lord, and help him to get into this. If you don't desire and it's not your will to heal him by touching him, that you'd allow him to get into this study down in Texas, Lord, and so, Lord, we just pray that you'd be with him, encourage him, and be with Nancy Lou and the rest of the family, and lift him up and encourage him, Lord, and bless him. I know he had a good spirit about him. We want to pray also for Jim and Peggy, Lord. Jim's not doing good, and Lord, it's just, we just pray for him that you'd lift him up and help him, encourage him, Lord. We don't know if he's sick today or what's going on, but we just pray for him. And Lord, I think of this lady that Robert talked about, Joy, I think, that, Lord, that you would just help her. Lord, that you'd touch her, and I don't know if she's saved or not, but maybe through this, give a chance to be a witness to her and for her to get saved. But we pray for her. And we do also pray for Kristen's nephew, I think he said, that's in the military, a Christian boy, and that's a tough place to be right now. And so, Lord, we just pray about all these things, that you'd encourage them, that you'd bless them. We pray for your help here today. Lord, we want to please you. We want to allow you to work and move as you want to today. And so may we just all right now just yield ourselves to you and to your teachings, and that we might have a good fellowship and time with you today. And we'll thank you for it. In thy name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about the Spirit today. Remember, man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. That's from the outward in. And just to kind of you can draw this a lot of different ways. The body, soul, and spirit. Or you can do it that way. But we are a body, soul, and spirit. It's a strange thing. And now, before we was preaching on the soul, and we'll get back to that later on about the status of the soul. But for the last 2 weeks, we've really discussed it. This week, we're gonna discuss the spirit, and it's very important that every Christian believes that they have a spirit. Since we learn very little communications, or we'll learn that every communication of God with man occurs in our spirit. Okay, so I kind of messed that up, but when God talks to you, he doesn't talk to your body, he doesn't talk to your soul, he talks to your spirit, because God is a spirit. And that's the only way he communicates. And so we want to look at this thing, and you say, well, I think that many Christians believe that when they got saved, that Christ sealed his spirit in them, and that's true, but then somehow that their spirit was done away with. Now, we know that Paul says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." Just the way Adam died, and the way we died when we became aware of sin, and that was our spirit. And as we go through this, we'll look at the way that God talked about dying was not necessarily the way we look at dying. Okay? And so... and that's true. When we come to an age of whatever it was that we realized that we had sinned and all sin was against God, our spirit died within us. And so even when Christian people get saved, they seem how, and I've even heard it taught that no, we do not have a spirit, we have a new spirit. Well, the Bible says that our spirit was renewed, was quickened. Okay, so and through time we'll get to what that means and everything. So Christ's spirit came into your spirit at salvation and quickened it, and now he dwells there. You can't put a finger on it where it's at. It's like it's in your head or in your big toe or anything. God is a spirit, and your spirit is a spirit, and you can't see spirit. Okay, and so when you got saved, God came into your spirit and quickened your spirit back alive. Quickening, that's what the Bible calls. And if you ever run a splinter underneath your fingernail, what do they call that? The quick. And you know you're alive real quick, right? And so that's why it's used. And that spirit was made back alive. And so you have now, as a saved person, you have a spirit, and that's where Christ's spirit dwells in you. And anytime that God communicates, or Christ communicates with us, it's through his spirit, through our spirit, okay? And we need to understand that. So if a believer does not discern his own spirit, that he really has an active spirit, he's then ignorant of how to commune with God in the Spirit, because that is the only way God communes with his people. Then they will easily substitute, if they don't understand that's the only, God never deals with your flesh or your soul. Then the Christians will easily substitute the thoughts or emotions of the soul for the work of the Spirit. And we see that going on all the time. So he confines himself to the outer realm, unable to reach the spiritual realm. What? a Christian that doesn't understand that he has a spirit, and that spirit is the only way that God talks to him. Let me rephrase that again. If he doesn't understand that, so this Christian, he confines himself to the outer realm. What is the outer realm? Outside this soul and spirit. It's outside the spirit, it's in the soul or in the body. If it's in the soul, then it comes out to the body. That's all, and I'm talking about a Christian. If he doesn't understand that he has a quickened spirit, and that's where Christ dwells, right here, then all his mind can do, which is the mind, is from where? The soul. This is the only way he operates. He is a Christian that walks in the flesh. He is not a spiritual Christian. And it's because he doesn't know. It's not because maybe he doesn't want to be, but he hasn't been taught. Because as far as he knows, his soul, he don't even really have a spirit. And how God deals with him, and how God communes with him. And God never, never, never goes to any place except through his spirit, because he is a spirit, through your spirit. And your spirit is trying to affect the soul and the body. Okay? So we've got to understand that. And a lot of Christians don't, because that's why you so see a lot of Christians, they're just walking around like unsaved people. In the flesh, in the soul, doing what pleases them. And you say, well, they ought to be ashamed. A lot of times, I don't think a lot of people, Christians, understand that. I mean, they know that they're in the flesh, but they don't understand the details of it. And so look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man? See, the Bible says, and he's talking to Christians here. So saved Christian, your old spirit, you have a new quickened spirit. It's the same spirit, okay, that you got when you was born. How do I know? The Bible says right here, which is in him. See, it's not something hanging off on one side out here. It's in you. And even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now look at verse 5. Look at chapter 5. Look at chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. And look at verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and now Paul says, my spirit. See, what I'm doing is showing you Bible verses that says that you have your old spirit, but if you're a child of God, it's quickened. That's where Christ dwells in you. And so Paul makes a very clear statement, my spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, it's a little s. It's Paul's spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul mentions and says his spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. The problem with Christians today, in the shallow teaching that we have, they do not have a clue how God created them and how God works through them. Oh, we got an idea in all this, but this stuff is not taught, and how to communicate and everything else. And Christians are ignorant of this because preachers won't teach it. And I don't think a lot of they don't know about it. Oh, you get the outer twinges of it and everything, but that's all we get. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14. We're talking about the spirit that is man that God quickened, okay? That the Spirit of Christ quickened. Look at verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. That's not Christ's spirit. Paul said, that's my spirit, but my understanding is unfruitful. Look at verse 15. Look down at verse 32. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Who? Their own spirit. So you understand, you have an, if you're a child of God, born again believer, then you have an active spirit, and what activated that spirit was Christ's spirit when you got saved, okay? And so now, according to what the Bible teaches, you could say that the man's spirit has three main functions, okay? We need to find out what they are. So according to the Bible, and you go through there, and the spirit, now we talked about the soul the last couple of weeks, but the spirit has three main functions, and we're gonna do it this way. Okay, one is conscience. Number two is intuition. And number three is communion. Oh, I'd like to get another board. There are other functions, but that's the three main functions. Yeah, turn it back around. Move it over that away a little bit so I can. There you go. So we got of your spirit. Now we talked about the soul and what is, but your spirit has three main functions: your conscience, intuition, and communion. The conscience, okay? You all know that you have a conscience, right? When, as a child of God, and I'm just giving you kind of the detail of this right now, but later we'll get into it. But when you do something wrong, what lets you know about it? Your conscience. That's in every person, every individual is born with a conscience. That's something that God gives them. It's a conscience. The conscience is the discerning organ which distinguishes right and wrong, not, however, through the influence of the knowledge stored in the mind. Did you get that? Conscience has nothing to do with your brain. It has nothing to do with the mind power. Again, it's the discerning organ which distinguishes right and wrong, not, however, through the influence of knowledge stored in the mind, but rather by spontaneous, direct judgment. Conscience is judgment. The problem is that often reasoning will justify things which our conscience judges. Did you get that? When we do something wrong, what do we try? We try to rationalize it. That's brain. Conscience says, that was wrong. The brain says, yeah, but. Isn't that right? We try to rationalize it. Where does that brain power come from? The soul. Right? So what is of spirit? Our conscience comes from the spirit and makes a judgment call. You should not have done that. But the soul says, yeah, but. And they start excusing. Now, let me give you a verse on this. Go to Romans chapter 2. The more I study this, the more I see how the devil has hid this thing from Christians. Romans chapter 2, look at verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, These, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which, verse 15, show the work of the law written in their hearts. Now, that doesn't mean this thing that's pumping blood. It's their, what's the next word? He clarifies it. Their conscience. Now, you see, that clarifies that, that if we think, all right, it's the heart, no, it isn't, because the heart comes, of the physical heart and feelings and stuff like that come from the soul. Conscience comes from the spirit. It, that's the only place it comes from. So when you get a guilty conscience about something, that is coming from God through His Spirit to your spirit, telling you it's wrong. So, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts. What's that? Brain power. The meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Your spirit, when we do something wrong, gets a hold of your conscience and said, you shouldn't have done that. Our mind says, yeah, but, and it starts excusing itself. Two totally different entities about us that work. They work in us constantly. Go to 1 Timothy. Right after 2 Thessalonians. And we don't understand what we're doing. That's why the Bible talks about when you apologize, when you try to turn right around and apologize for some doing something to somebody, and then you try to say, but here's why I done it, you just blew it. You're making excuses. You was judged according to your conscience that you done something wrong against somebody, and that is good and holy. But as soon as you try to make excuse why you done it, so when somebody apologizes to you for something that they done to you, and then the next word will either explain what, that they meant it or they didn't. And where does that come from? It didn't come from the conscience. It come from the soul. Accusing, excusing what you done. And so, but here's what the problem that we have. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 19. He says, now holding faith and a, now notice here what he says we need. Paul is talking, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. You know what you do when you do something that goes against that conscience? In God's eyes, you just became a shipwreck. Don't know as I like that too much, because we're always excusing ourselves for what we do, when we should be repenting and asking the Lord forgive us and the people forgiving us and leaving it there. We try to excuse ourselves. And what happened? We become shipwrecked. Now, so that's the conscience. That's one thing that comes from our spirit. No other place. It's our conscience. The next thing is intuition. Did you ever hear that before? Intuition. You say that's like a conscience. No, it's not. Mm-mm. Intuition is the sensing organ of the human spirit. Intuition means, you ought to write this down, the ability to understand something immediately. Now, this is just a dictionary. The ability to understand something immediately without the need of conscious reasoning of the mind. Pretty close. But did you ever have something that God just, you know it. You don't know why, but God is just, you know it's right. Or you know it's wrong. Sherry and I were talking last week about an incident that happened to her. And she said, as soon as, now we use these phrases, and it's okay because that this other Christian lady told her about something, and she says, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. You know what that was? Intuition. She knew right there it was wrong. That can only come from the Spirit, and it comes from the Spirit of Christ. And we neglect them things because we're so used to feelings and emotion that work out of the soul. So intuition, it's knowing that you know something. And no matter what people say, they can't change it. Because you know it. It's a strange thing. Intuition involves a direct sensing independent of any outside influence. Again, that knowledge which comes to us without any help from the mind or emotion. And a lot of times it goes contrary to them. That's intuition, and that only comes from your spirit. It is when you really know something through our intuition. Our mind merely helps us to understand it, which is the soul part. But sometimes you know something and the mind can't comprehend it yet. And it may never. But you know it's right, and you can't put your finger on it. How you know it's right, but you know it's right. And that comes from your spirit and your intuition. Your brain can't get a hold of it. Is this okay? You all right with this? Okay, all right, good. All right. So, but our mind, after a while, if we pay attention to that intuition and realize that this is God, this is the way He talks to me, this is the way He shows me, then the more we understand that, then we understand that it is God. He's trying to communicate with us. He's trying to show us. He's trying to warn us. Then after a while, if we pay attention to that, then God allows our soul, that intuition is overpowering our soul. See? You can't do this yourself. When we start keep yielding to that and understanding, hey, this is God communicating to me. Man, I got to pay attention. And pretty soon, your spirit starts affecting your soul and overriding your soul. Then your brain can start getting a hold of this. Ah, I understand. Why? Because finally, God allowed your spirit to control your soul. And if it controls your soul, then it controls your flesh. So we got to have both of them, but we got to understand how they're to be used. Because most of the time we get feelings. Nothing wrong with feelings. God give them to us. But then our emotions get worked up. That has nothing to do with the spirit. It all comes from the soul. And it affects our bodies in the worst way. Satan has had a heyday with Christians of confusing them. All right. The revelation of God and all the movements of the Holy Spirit are known to the believer through his intuition, which comes from his spirit. God is a spirit. This is John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Question. How much of Christianity today, read that verse and they say, well, we got the right Bible. We everything must be right, and we got all the right music and everything. And this verse has nothing to do with that. I have said that myself. We have got the right Bible. We've got everything. We must be worshiping spirit and truth. No, 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 no. If our intuition, if we're neglecting that intuition, whatever God is telling us, if we neglect that, then we're paying attention to what the brain is telling us. And you're not worshiping, or you're not doing anything in the spirit. You're in the flesh. I don't care what you're doing. Because only what comes from the spirit through our intuition is spiritual, and it's truth. That we can depend on. God will never tell us a fib. Amen? All right. So again, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. It must always be coming from our intuition of what God has showed us through our intuition, which comes from our spirit, and it's truth. So every believer must be, therefore, take heed to these two elements, the voice of conscience and the teaching of intuition. Come on now, how many you've done something and your conscience, even before you've done it, was telling you not to do it? Sure. And we just foo-fooed it away. Yeah. We ignored it. But then, we want to get something from God. We just blew it. We just committed sin. And God does not communicate with us when we're sinning. It has to be cleansed. Strange thing. Now, let me, talking about this intuition, go to Romans chapter 8. Now, what's the definition of intuition? Knowing what you know. Or you just real simple, knowing. You don't know how you know, but you know, and nothing can change it. Well, these verses here, Romans chapter 8, and we take so lightly. But look at verse 38. Paul says, "For I am persuaded." Would you say that Paul saying, "I know"? I know because this came from my intuition, which came from my spirit, which came from God. Says he says, I am persuaded, or I know. And how did he get that? From his intuition, which came from God through his spirit. That neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal security. When you're saved, you know you're saved. Why? Because your intuition tells you you're saved. It's not your conscience. Conscience deals with judgment. Intuition tells you you're saved, born again believer. Why? Because it came from my spirit, and that came from the Spirit of God. I'm sorry, a lot of Pentecostals don't get that. I'm not being mean, I'm really not. How did Paul know these things? Through his intuition that came from God's spirit, through your spirit, and that is fact. Now we come to the communion. What's another word for communion?
Fellowship.
There you go. So you got conscience, intuition, communion, or fellowship. These all come from the Spirit. They have nothing to do with the soul. They are basically contrary to the soul. Communion is worshiping God. And they that worship God must worship Him in what? Spirit and truth. The soul of man is incompetent to worship God. God is not apprehended by our thoughts, feelings, or intentions. And most of Christianity today thoughts, feelings, and intentions. And God says, you can't, that is not fellowship with me. That's not communing with me. That is all with you all having a good time and shouting and carrying on, and I'm not a part of it. I'm on the outside knocking to come in. It really brings a light to that thing, doesn't it? Again, the soul of man is incompetent to worship God. God is not apprehended by our thoughts, feelings, or intentions, for He can only be known directly in our spirit. Our worship of God and God's communication with us is directly in the spirit. They take place in the inner man. Oh, that's why Paul always prayed that with the Ephesians, that you might grant unto them to be strengthened with might by your spirit on the in the inner man. Paul never prayed for Christians to be strengthened here or here. He always prayed for them to be strengthened here. Never wants to. You say, well, you mean it's not right? No, Paul prayed for people's body to be healed. Timothy. But what happens? The soul will control the spirit if we let it. Paul prayed that God might grant unto them to be strengthened with might. Why? Because if we're not strengthened with might in the inner man, the soul and the flesh controls everything. And God cannot be pleased with that, because He only comes from here working through your spirit. The spirit is so, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit of God. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How does that work? When we pay attention to these two outer instead of the inner man, when the inner man is not fed, is not strengthened, the other two control it. That's just the way it is. What do we as Christians need? We need the inner man strengthened, that it can control, that it can feed us through our intuition of what he wants for us. That's the only way God communicates. He doesn't send angels. He doesn't send flashing lights. He doesn't send a boogie bear or anything else. It's through our spirit. And if it's not through the intuition through the spirit, it's not of God. And you know, here's the strange thing about that. Do you ever have people say, well, I believe God spoke to me? You know the thing I found out and the thing I'm reading? When God speaks to you, you have no doubt. Now, you start excusing it. Well, that couldn't have been God. That was God. Well, I'm just a nobody Christian. Why would God? God speaks to nobodies. And that's the way he speaks to you, through your spirit. And your intuition will get that. But if our inner man is so deflated, so weakened, so controlled by the flesh and the soul, how much do you think we get from God? Not much, do we? And what? Well, I just believe it. I think God told me to do this. No, that was your own flesh soul telling you what to do in your own voice, in your ears. It was all soulish and fleshly, and it wasn't God. Because when God speaks to you, you know it. Now, always before, you didn't know that you knew it, and you couldn't explain why you knew it, but you knew it. That's what this is about, that we recognize it. You know, it's a simple fact. You know, all you got to do is to keep somebody in the dark is keep them in the dark. You keep them ignorant about something, and you've got them. And the Satan can do whatever he wants to you, and you think it, a lot of time it may even be God. Because we don't understand how he talks to us. And we just pass it off as a weird feeling. You ever do that? That was strange. Must have been gas or something. I don't know. You pay attention to them things. How many times have you and when I was studying this, it come back to me. I was coming in from over east 4 or 5 years ago, and I turned the corner there at the Heights, headed south, and right there where them that curve, I let off my gas. I should have been speeding up. And all of a sudden, this car come tearing around, went off the road, came right in front. When it came across this way in front of me, I didn't miss that thing 10 feet running 70 mile an hour. Something told me to slow down. And if I hadn't, I didn't know what it was. I believed it was God, but I didn't understand, you know, I didn't understand all that, how it came through to me. And just that quick, God spoke and my intuition reacted. How many times you ever had something and you just pass it off as, because you didn't really know, you say, well, that must have been God, but you didn't really know that it was God. Yeah, it happens to us all the time. And we just shuck it off. That is God working in his, because he's a spirit, working through your spirit, and your intuition picked it up. Boy, we need to, and as long as Satan can keep us unaware of how we work and how God works, he's got you. Communion is fellowship with him, that inner man. Look at this is a good verse. I love this. This made so much sense. Go to John 16. After these verses meant so much after I started, God started showing this thing to me. We'll be done here in just a minute. John 16, look at verse 12. I have yet, now Christ is speaking, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, who's he? Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth is come, he's going to do what? He will guide you into all truth. How's he going to guide you? Through your spirit, through your intuition. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. How's he going to do that? We know now, don't we? Through your spirit, with your intuition picking it up. He shall glorify me. See, the Holy Spirit, when he works out a way, glorifies God. Anything else does not glorify God. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall do what? Show it to you. So I don't care what's going on. I don't care what preacher you're listening to, what book you're reading, Bible, whatever. If God gives you anything, it's the Holy Spirit working through your spirit that quickens your intuition and says, I know that. That was just made clear. That's the job of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. And that intuition is the thing he connects it with. Them verses, I about went in a shouting fit when I saw that. It makes sense now. And how will he show it to you? Only through your spirit that gives you an intuition or knowing. Knowing. Remember, that's another word for intuition. Knowing. The relationship between conscience and intuition is that conscience. Now listen to this. The relationship, and these are both in the spirit, all three. The relationship between conscience and intuition is that conscience judges according to intuition or what you know. Right? And condemns all conduct which does not follow the directions given by intuition or what you know. Because this is the way God communes with man. I'm not saying that the spirit is conscience. It's not. The function of intuition is spiritual sense. And that's the only kind it is on a spiritual condition. That's all it deals with. And the function of communion is worship. Now, what's another word we might use? As we said, it's fellowship. Listen to this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteous? And what communion has light with darkness? None. They can't. Your soul and body are in darkness. They can't not communicate. All your communications from God is through spirit. The function of conscience is in man's spirit. Romans 8:16. I'll just give you these. 1 Corinthians 5:3-5. The function of intuition in man's spirit is Acts. Let me read this to you. Do what? I couldn't hear you. Yeah, for function of conscience and man's spirit, Romans 8:16, 1 Corinthians 5:3, and the function of intuition and man's spirit, I'm gonna get Acts 18, and verse 5, Paul is talking here, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in here in the spirit. And testified to the Jews that Jesus Christ, that Jesus was Christ. That's intuition. How did Paul testify? Because he knew it. God showed him who Jesus Christ was in through his spirit and through his intuition. Look at verse 13. Saying this fellow is ready to worship. No, I've got the wrong. I got the wrong. 18. Hang on. I think it's chapter 13. 13 and verse 4. No, I got the wrong. But anyway, I'll get you. But Acts chapter 5. And then the last one, you got the function of the conscience, the function of the intuition, then the function of communion in man's spirit. Look at real quick at Luke chapter 1. And then I'll just give you the rest of them. But Luke chapter 1, and this is Jesus Christ talking. Luke chapter 1. And look at verse 47. Christ is saying, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." My spirit. The function of communion is fellowship, rejoicing. Christ said, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." You can also go look at John 4:23 and 24. And you can also go at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. The function of communion in man's spirit, it's worship. They all come from the Spirit. You can come on up, Millette, if you want. And if you've got a song there. So this is the Spirit. This is why it's important that we understand that we have a Spirit, what the function of Spirit, our Spirit is, and for us to understand that. So we understand when God communicates with us. Amen? Because if we don't really understand, because how many Christians today believe that God only speaks through a voice, or you'll see some sign, or some wonder, or some miracle? A lot of them. God does not speak to Christians that way today. This is the only way he does, through our spirit, and we understand, we get it through our intuition. He gives it to us. It's knowing why. God speaks to us through that, and we know. Amen? And that we're going to keep going on this. We need to understand that we need to pay attention. When we get them funny feelings, or the hair standing up on the back of her neck, or just things, that's God speaking to you for some reason. And we need to pay attention to it. That's the way he speaks to us. He doesn't speak through the flesh. He doesn't speak through the soul. That is demonic. Amen? Got a song? Let's just sing a couple of verses. What is it? 164? 54, 6. 164.